The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at Life Streams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
For those of you that are part of our church and have been here for a while, you'll know we're going through a series in Ephesians. And if you're visiting with us, then that's what we're doing. We're up to Ephesians 3 and the last part of that chapter is one of my favourite chapters. Chapter 3, where Paul has already shared the significance of the gospel in his own life. He's experienced heaps of the gospel. And he's now moving into the final bit of chapter 3. And at this point we need to remember that Paul was in prison. So he's writing this out of prison. It's one of the prison epistles. Verse 14. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. It's always interesting when you see these words, for this reason. What's the reason, what he's talking about here? He's basically saying, because of the reality of the gospel that he's just explained in the first 2.5 chapters, because of who we are in Christ. Now, Paul's experienced the reality of the gospel. He's experienced the power of the gospel in his own life. He knows his identity in Christ. He's really experienced that. It's not just an idea for him. And in Ephesians 1, he went through and he talked about how we've been adopted, how we've been blessed, how we've been chosen, we've been forgiven, how the only reason we are created is so that God can embrace us into his family. That's who we are in Christ. We're in his family. And it talks about, Paul often talks about the riches of God's grace and mercy. And that's all through the first few chapters in Ephesians. And so Paul is saying, for that reason, for who we are in Christ, for the abundance of God's love and mercy and grace, he kneels before the Father to pray for this church and ultimately to pray for us. You know, I think of that fact that Paul was in prison. And he probably thought, I'm here, my life is coming to an end. I can pray. I can write letters to encourage the believers. You know, I am thankful for the many people who in the midst of their own crises pray for other people. I'm thankful for the people who are in the midst of awful stuff, they pray for me. And they probably pray for you as well. Might never know it. But I'm just so thankful for so many people who pray for other people in the midst of their own dramas. If you're one of those, thank you. May God continue to bless you and encourage you in that. It's always good to realize that in the midst of our own dramas, we still have the ability to pray for others. It's a very healing thing to do that. And I think of, as Liz Roberts shared this morning, as Brett interviewed her, you know, Liz has got a ton of stuff happening up in Indonesia constantly. I've had the privilege of being ministering with her a number of times up there, and she's like the Apostle Paul up in Indonesia. It's just unbelievable what's going on there. And yet, she is passionate about praying for what God is doing here. And I think, far out, you've got enough stuff to pray for up there. But she knows that God is working here. And she wants to see our church here blossom and flourish. And she's prepared to commit herself to praying regularly for that to happen. I think of Varbi, one of the C2C missions family that we support in Myanmar, in Burma. He lives in Yangon. Once again, poverty, persecution, but him and his team of church planters, and they've got heaps of them through there, doing a fantastic job. Every Friday morning, for 3 or 4 hours, they and the church there, they get together to pray. They pray for themselves, they pray for their own country, they pray for their church, they pray for friends, and they pray for us. Every Friday morning, they pray for us. Now, you might think, well, that's because we support them. Yes. But they are passionately committed to us. They figure the one thing they can do for us is to pray. They can't give us money, but they can pray. I'm so thankful for people who pray. So what did Paul pray? It's one of the best prayers in the Scriptures. If you ever want to pray something for someone, pray this. Let's pray it out now. Actually, I want to pray it for you. Why don't you close your, well, before you close your eyes, just put an arm on someone near you. If it's a husband or wife, you can hold hands. If it's someone you're hoping might be a husband or wife, you can hold hands, whatever. But just put an arm on someone so you're touching someone else, if possible. If you're too far away, then don't. But just close your eyes. Now, I want this prayer that I pray out of Ephesians 3 to be for you. I pray that out of His glorious riches, God may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen. A beautiful prayer. You know, Paul prays that they, the Ephesian church, and us will be strengthened in our inner being, and also that they grasp the enormity of God's love for them, so that they have a greater capacity to experience the fullness and the presence of God. You know, the more I grasp the enormity of God's love for me, the more we get a sense of that love, the more capacity we have to receive and experience the reality of God. And the more the overflow. And that's the exciting part. See, it's not just about me experiencing God. It's always about the overflow. So the more I experience the love of God, the more I am filled with the presence of God and the fullness of God, the more people in our world are impacted. It's a great picture. God wants to strengthen us. Verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That word dwell, it's about feeling at home. There's not a tension there. It's actually we're together and together. The sense of togetherness there. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. Now the word being rooted and established in love is an ongoing word. It's not just something that happens, I'm rooted in God's love. It's an ongoingness of it. Continually, moment by moment, more and more being rooted in and established in God's love. That's why a prayer like this is something that's an ongoing thing. It's not just a once for all. Just pray it and you'll be okay. You'll get the love of God. We, in our hard and crusty world, we have to keep praying this. Keep being alert to the love of God. And Paul is saying here, for our roots to go deep into the love of God. That's the foundation that we are to go deep in. You know, for those of you who are part of this church, we have our Kingdom Life Tree, which is over on the wall over there, which is a part of our discipleship ongoing growth program, if you like. And it's not a program, it's just that's our picture that we have. And the three roots that are going down into the water of God's love, the living water, is all about deeper. It's deeper spiritual relationships. It's deeper responsibilities. So we actually are intentional in some things. And it's also a deeper spiritual life. So the more we choose to go deeper in the foundation of God's love, the more we experience the fullness of God. Now, it's interesting, my daughter Natasha has been studying at Regent College in Vancouver for a year. She got home this week after 12 months away. She came home engaged. She's engaged to a Canadian, praise the Lord. So she got this big rock on her finger, and anyway, it's exciting. So she's home for about a day and a half, plays netball with my wife on Thursday night, rolls her ankle on crutches. So this is a great start to time back in Perth. But anyway, last year when she was in Vancouver, she said there was all this media warnings about a storm that's coming, this like huge storm coming to Vancouver. And she goes, well, jeepers, this is pretty exciting, you know. And they're all sort of batting down the hatches type stuff. And so the next morning she's thinking, it wasn't really a storm, but everyone's like, did you see hear the storm last night? And she said, it was sort of like coming from Perth, it's like a normal sea breeze. it wasn't any, because over there they've got the big islands that are protecting the Vancouver from the sea, so it's quite a protected city. They don't get a lot of winds. And so she said the amazing thing was this sort of, it was a bit more than a gentle sea breeze, like a sea breeze we get. She said there was trees down everywhere. And she thought, what the heck's going on here? But then as we chatted, she said, you know, Vancouver gets a lot of water. It doesn't pelt down all the time, but it rains a lot. Drizzle. So the ground is always wet. So if the ground's always wet, the roots of the trees don't have to go very deep. They just suck up the surface water. And so when any wind comes, they go over. And I thought about that. You know, I thought about Western Christianity, and I generalize here. But Western Christianity, we have a fair bit of a sprinkling of God around. We are with church people and Christian people on a regular basis. We can come along to church. We can go to a Bible study group. We can actually be moistened by the Spirit of God in numerous ways. And if a crisis comes, then, you know, we can sometimes stand. But a lot of Western Christians don't. They chuck it in. And as I thought about those trees and the storm in Vancouver, I thought, the crisis can often reveal how deep our roots are. So we have to intentionally send our roots down. A tree doesn't intentionally send it down unless they live in, the trees are in Kalgoorlie or something. They've got to go deep there. We've got a Kalgoorlie person. Yeah. Hey! We've got Katanning, we've got everyone here this morning. What was I saying? Yeah, we have to intentionally, because we've got access to Christian stuff all the time, we have to choose to send the roots down deep into the foundation of God's love so that when the crisis does come, we actually stand firm. I mean, the other side of the coin is that a crisis can sometimes cause us to go deep, our roots to go deep into the love of God. So a crisis comes into your life, what do? Suddenly all your supports, or the things you were trusting, whether it be money, family, friends, whatever, they're fickle. They're not there. So we have to either rely on God or go our own way. So we put our roots deeper. So that's why, for example, a crisis or the trials that we go through are not necessarily to be shunned. We don't always welcome them, say, bring them on. But we can look at them and say, God, what are you doing here? You know, a friend of mine, he gave me permission to share this story. His name's Craig. He owns a business, plumbing business. And he got a lot of people working for him. He was doing a job for a big building company. Had outlaid a lot of labour and money, and the building company went broke. So he lost a bucket load of money to this thing. A lot of money. Now, just to set the scene, Craig beforehand, over the last number of years, has gone deep with God. God's done some amazing things in him and through him. His faith has been strong. And so when this crisis hit, the people in the office were pretty nervous. How is he going to respond to this? Like, they're walking around on eggshells thinking, is he going to explode? And he said, it's okay. He said, it's fine. We'll deal with this. And he said to me, it is absolutely amazing what happened, not just in the financial remuneration that he got from left field and right field, from other scenarios, but just in the way God did some miracles in people's lives. Just in the way he changed scenarios that he couldn't have believed. If that hadn't have happened, this couldn't have happened. And yet because he lost all that money and because this happened, and I can't go into them specifically, but he said it was just amazing what God did in the midst of all that. And so in his words, and I wouldn't always use this word, he said, it's really exciting when you lose that much money to see what God's going to do. It's like far out. So trials can strengthen us. And they can increase our capacity to experience God, which is what Paul's praying here. The roots go deep into the love of God so we experience more of God. When the storms come and when we're just going through normal life, whatever that might be. Paul goes on, I pray that you being rooted and established in love may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp, hang on to, get a hold of, understand, grab it. How wide and long and high, a wide, long, high, deep, it covers the whole lot, is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Grasp the enormity of God's love for you. How do we do that? How can that happen? You know, one thing to be continually reminded of is that the love of God is not conditional. God can't not love you. God can't and won't love you any less because of what you do. And He won't love you any more because of what you do. God loves you with the agape love, that unconditional love that is just poured out on us. We don't get that. But Paul is praying that we would grasp it. And that's why it's an ongoing prayer for us, that we would grasp the enormity of God's love for us. If we're going to put down deep roots into the foundation of God's love, I've got to know that the love is unconditional. Otherwise, why bother? But it happens over a period of time. Sometimes it happens quickly. Now, the Bible talks about God is love. Got to grasp that somehow. What helps you grasp the enormity of God's love for you? What has helped you in the past? Because if you haven't grasped it, I really pray this morning that you will. And I was talking to another man in our church, Jonathan. Some of you might know him. He's given me permission to share this as well. But 20 years ago, he said to me, I was full on for God. In every area, I was full on passionate for God. And he said, then I went through several crises. He said, my dad died. I went through a divorce. And long journey of mess in his life. Some good choices and some bad choices. And a few months ago, his words to me were, I've hit rock bottom. And he reached out and a few of us prayed for him. And he's been moving upward, planting his roots, but moving towards God in some good ways. But last week, he was frustrated. He said, I want to get back to this fullness with God, and everything I'm doing is not working. And he texted me. It's interesting, it was Monday of last week. I just in my time with God, I just thought of him. And I thought, I prayed for him. I thought, I must catch up with him. I got a text when I'm in a meeting here. I got a text. We got to talk. So, okay. But I didn't read it. I just saw it come up. And then there was a series of, you know, in your text, beep, 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 text just coming through one after the other. So when I finally read them, there's a whole screen of text there, all from him. And he was expressing a lot of things that had not worked out. And he's basically saying, how can I do this? How can I do it right? And then his final text started with, God just spoke to me. God just spoke to me. And this is what he wrote. This is what God said to him. The question that you seem to be struggling with is, how can I? It's not you that does it, it's me. This is God speaking. You just have to submit every day. Just get up on your dad's knee every day. Don't think about, am I good enough? That just keeps you away. Satan loves to keep us away from the Father's lap. Loves to. He'll do anything he can to keep us away from the Father's lap. And he went on, he said, then I saw a picture of me. I was a little boy. I was in my good clothes and I tripped over in the mud. And it was all over me. So it was all down my front and I was crying. I saw me through God's eyes. I saw His intention and I experienced His love to pick me up, but more than that, to know that I belonged to Him. And he said He picked him up and wiped him down to to know that I belong to Him. I experience the reality of His love. You know, at that point, Jonathan grasped something of the enormity of God's love for him. And he said it just overwhelmed him. Just overwhelmed him. Do you think he might need to grasp the enormity of God's love again? Of course. We leak. We lose some stuff. He's on a journey. He hasn't arrived. He's on a journey like all of us. But this prayer of Paul's is so powerful. I pray that you would grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of God for you. For you. It goes way beyond knowledge, so that you'll be filled to a measure of all the fullness of yourself, of Himself. You know, Paul's prayer is that the love and presence of God will so fill you that there is no room for any other junk in our lives. The junk might be the baggage from the past, the hurts that you still hang on to, the bitterness, the rebellion that still sits there, the negative thinking that keeps grabbing you. My brother-in-law, Raymond's brother, and his wife and another couple went on a trip once over east, and they'd arranged for the other couple's son to pick them up at the airport. And so they get out of the airport, they've got a case each, so four cases, four adults, picked up by the son in a Statesman, big car. And they open the boot to put their cases on. It's full of luggage. They said, "What's going on?" And then the father realised, "Oh, I picked up my daughter from boarding school a week ago. Didn't take the luggage out of the car." There was a bit of blaming going back and forth. "Why didn't you check the boot?" "Well, why would I check the boot? I didn't put anything in the boot." You know, so. But they managed to sort of put one or two cases in there and the rest were on their laps. He said there was a bit of banter going on as they drove home, but they got home. And I thought about that and I thought they needed to empty out the stuff in the boot so they could put this more stuff in. We need to empty out the other stuff to increase the capacity for God's love and presence to fill us. What might the stuff be? What do you need to empty out of your life? What do you need to maybe move out to make space to increase the capacity for God to fill you? Don't know. Ask Him. But there's probably some stuff there that would just, once you get rid of that, it opens up the space in huge ways. And I do know that there is God's part here and there's our part. Sometimes God just does it. Sometimes He does it in response to us dealing with some things. Now I find even on a regular basis, this whole area of carving out time in your day just to spend in the Word, just to spend in prayer. I don't do it because I'm a pastor or because I'm super spiritual. I do it because I need to. Need to do that. Carve out some time. We're chatting at our shepherding elders meeting the other day about even during the day, taking a minute every now and again just to pull back and say, "What's going on here? God, what are you doing here?" Just to pull back a little bit. Reflect on what God might be doing. Notice God. Maybe for you it could be trying some new things. I know Jim and Charlotte have been running the Dwelling series on a Tuesday night. And for some people doing that, it was a new thing to, I'll come along and see what God does in this. It's actually trying a new thing, maybe a new thing, a new spiritual discipline that it could be for you. You might think, "I've never fasted." Maybe fasting would be something that God says, "I'm going to open you up a little bit more if you fast." Maybe generosity is something. Maybe silence or solitude. Maybe getting away by yourself, away from social media, away from your phone for half a day even, just to listen to God. Brett mentioned the spiritual retreats that we have. You know, I've got one coming up in 2 weeks. For some who have been on that, they've found it's been a space where God has actually filled them to deeper levels. He's opened up their capacity as they've spent time listening to Him. Maybe that would be something for you. Now, as I said, we can be intentional in this. But sometimes God just does some stuff. And we can be thankful for that. Linda shared a story with me. Linda's another person from here. She gave me permission to share her story as well. She went to another country to meet up with her brother and sister-in-law. They had a holiday at their house. And she said when she got there, her sister-in-law, who was a Christian, said to her, they just got chatting about different things, and she said, you know, God gave me a picture of you. And she said, oh, really? What was it? And she said, well, there was a globe, you know, globe of the world. And she said, you were in the centre of it. And she said it had something to do with probably the fact you've travelled a fair bit of the world. But she said wrapped around the globe were chains. And she goes, wow. And they talked about what that might be. And then the sister-in-law said, can I pray for you? She said, that'd be great. And she said, as she started to pray for me, I went onto my knees and I just started to sob. And sob and sob. And she said, all the negative stuff from my past just came out. Critical thinking, a lot of stuff which I won't go into that she told me about. It just all started to come out. Sob for 20 minutes plus. And she said, at the end of it, I just thought, wow, I feel different. I feel a peace. I feel a peace that's just come in there. A lot of the rubbish had gone. You know, she allowed herself to be prayed for. She didn't say, oh, that's a bit stupid. I don't want to go there. She allowed herself to be prayed for. From the sister-in-law's point of view, she was courageous enough to pass on what she believed God had said, what God had shown her, and to take the step of saying, can I pray for you? Now, in community, we have to be like that. There's people we trust. We might know everyone as much as others, but we can trust someone. Be open. If God gives you a word or a picture, I mean, remembering that all prophecy is for encouragement, comfort and strength. It's not for making people feel bad. Be open to actually say, you know, I just sense, I got a picture as I was praying for you. Well, God spoke to me about this. I sensed it was for your situation. Be prepared to take a risk and maybe put it out there. And be prepared to be prayed for. Now, so often we go out, even from a Sunday, and there's stuff just eating us away, and we don't get anyone to pray for us. Be open to being prayed for. Be open. Ask people to pray for you. Now, you may hear some of these stories, you may hear some of what Paul's praying and some of what I said, and you might think, well, sounds good, but it's for someone else. It doesn't apply to me. It wouldn't work with me. It'll never happen. Other people are more spiritual than me, and no, it won't happen. Verse 20, Paul says this as he wraps up his prayer. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. So basically God's saying, it's not about you, it's about what I'm doing here. As you make yourself available, as you open things up a bit, God says, I'm going to do some amazing things in you. And I love it where it says, God, now to him who is able. Who is able. God is able. God is able. He's not restricted. God is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Way more. Whatever you're praying for, whatever you're putting on the table before God, he's able to do amazing things through that. God is able. So I guess the question you probably need to answer, what do you doubt that God can do in your life? What do you doubt that God can deal with that you're going through? Tell him. Put it out there. Who knows what he may do there? Give it to him. Welcome the work of the Holy Spirit in the midst of it. Don't hold him at a distance. You know, I was on a prayer retreat last week, just for an overnighter with James Goss. James preached here a couple of weeks ago. And I don't go on these prayer retreats because I'm super spiritual. I go on them because exactly what I'm talking about. Because it increases my capacity to experience God. and therefore the overflow is better as well. And I was praying some things that were heavy on my heart. And I was just praying them out. And James came up to me and he says, you know, God just told me to ask you this question. He said, ask David this question. I said, oh, okay, what's the question? What is God telling you to ask me? And he said, God told me to ask you, have I ever let you down? I said, well, the correct answer is no. That's the textbook. And I started quickly thinking back through things in my life, and I thought, he hasn't. I've been through situations I'd rather not have gone through. But I'm still alive and I'm still okay. He's not ever let me down. Meaning, and God, what was God was saying to me was, I'll never let you down. I'll never let you down. I'm able to do far more than you can ask or imagine, David. Just hang in there with me. Keep putting your roots deep. Keep trusting me. Keep trusting me. I'm able to do things that will blow your mind. Big enough to do that. And Paul finishes with this. To him be the glory. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You know, everything that we do is for his glory. Our life is for his glory. It's got to be. He created us. He starts the whole thing. He's committed to transforming us. It's all for his glory. To him be the glory. What does that mean? It means that through our lives, through our church, God is revealed. God is revealed in and through you. The deeper we go into the love of Christ, the more we increase our capacity to experience the presence and the fullness of God, the more the overflow touches people. The more God is revealed to people through us. The more he is glorified. That's the purpose of life. To have God revealed in and through us. So I just pray that you would grasp the enormity of God's love for you. I pray that in the midst of the trials of life that you would trust him. I pray that your capacity would continue to increase to experience more of who God is. You know, if you're not a Christian here this morning, I really pray that you would grasp something right now, not because you decide to, but because God just dumps his love on you. And I pray you respond to that. Don't turn away from that. Don't dismiss it as being irrelevant. God loves you. I mean, his love was demonstrated for you on the cross. Romans 5:8 says, for God demonstrates his love for us and that while we were still sinners, enemies of his, Christ died for us. So if you're not a Christian, at least move towards him. Explore the reality of God's love for you. I just encourage you to close your eyes as we finish here. And just in this time, just be open to the Holy Spirit. You may want to put your hands out, just open before God. You may want to invite him to fill you. You may want to ask him to reveal his love to you in a fresh way. Just take some time now to be open to what God is saying to you. Pray that out of God's glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.